We come today to the second sermon in a series of sermons on relationships, their pain, their peril, their potential. Today's sermon, Caring For and Coping With Aging Parents. Our scripture lesson is from the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. I will begin reading with verse 1 on page 580. If you'd like to follow along with me. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw nigh when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high and the terrors in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Because man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Our text is the third verse, as paraphrased in the Living Bible, these words. There will come a time when your limbs will tremble with age, and your strong legs will grow weak, and your teeth will be few to do their work, and there will be blindness. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. Have you seen that rather widely distributed statement, how to know when you're getting old? Well, you know you're getting old when the gleam in your eye is from the sun hitting your bifocals. You know you're getting old when your children begin to look middle-aged. You know you're getting old when the little gray-haired lady who helps you across the street is your wife. You know you're getting old when you sit in a rocking chair and you can't make it rock. You know you're getting old when your pacemaker makes the garage door fly open when you see a pretty girl. You know you're getting old when you know all the answers, no one is asking the question. Ecclesiastes does not describe growing old in humorous terms as that statement. As a matter of fact, the passage that I just read in your hearing says that the process of aging brings shaking limbs, failing eyesight, faulty hearing, the fear of falling, poor memory, no teeth, insomnia, weakened libido, and you're standing at death's door. Beyond question, as we grow older, fight as hard as we want, it is a time of growing limitation. But it can also be a time of expanding opportunity and the continued renewing of our lives. There is really no reason why we should grow old and cranky and negative. Interestingly enough, a recent survey indicates a very interesting thing about aging. The young people who were asked what they thought of people who were old, they described aging people as those who are hopeless, passive, uninvolved, and fragile. And interestingly enough, in the same survey, those who were already old described themselves in the same terminology, but they added one word. They said, we are hopeless, passive, uninvolved, fragile, and lonely. In this society, then, more and more, to be old is to be alone, to be threatened with limited expectations. I reject that for myself and for any of you who are over 70. Life can have meaning for you, and it should have meaning for you and for me as we grow old with a measure of grace and with a positive attitude. Perhaps the psalmist said it best of all when he wrote, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. We ought to always remember that we are pilgrims passing through this world, as our choir sang for us. We have only once to live. And so we ought to be conscious of the passage of time and put it to a rightful use. When as a child I laughed and wept, someone wrote, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And then as with the years I older grew, time flew. And soon I shall find as I travel on, time is gone. So today as we look together for a little while at the subject of aging, in a rather limited fashion, we will focus on caring for and coping with aging parents. But I could not begin to consider the subject without acknowledging, first of all, that time flies. And as time flies, your mother and your father are going to begin to worry about several things. It's hard to accept the limitations that come with age. I don't play racquetball as well at 52 as I did at 40. I was the handball champion of the city in which I lived at age 30. Time takes its toll on us physically. Bernard Baruch, who had a plantation near where I grew up and where Bennett Brown was reared in South Carolina, once described old age as being 15 years older than wherever he was at the time, and he lived to be 95. We should recognize the reality that time flies. A little boy was on a train. He became fascinated with the face of a woman who was 70. And the woman's sister told this story. The little boy was just transfixed looking at this lady's face. And finally, he just blurted it out. Lady, your skin doesn't fit. Time flies. It moves on, and as it moves on, it leaves various and sundry little telltale signs and tracks in its way. And as time begins to move on, we need to remember that our parents are going to begin to worry. You know, we are living longer in this society than ever before. It's not uncommon anymore for someone in their 60s or early 70s to have both of their parents or one of them still living. After the 9:30 service, I had more than a dozen people come up and talk to me about parents that are well into their 90s. And one of the most interesting visits I ever had was with an elderly twosome that lived together. The daughter was in her 70s. Her mother was 96 at the time. Her daughter had had surgery, and I went to see about her daughter. And I walked in, and I said, "How are you feeling?" And, of course, she proceeded to tell me all about the operation. Her mother said, "Shut up. I'm tired of hearing about that operation." You know, I'm a feisty lady. You know, that's not uncommon anymore. At the turn of the century, women could expect to live to about age 50 or 51, men to about 48. Today, the life expectancy of the average woman in America is 79. Men live to an average age of 71. 28 million people in the United States are over 65, 12% of the population. In about 40 years, those persons over 65 will represent 20% of the population. And contrary to popular belief, 95% of those who are over 65 in America today live in their own homes, manage their own affairs, and are involved in their community. There are 12,000 people in America who are over 100 years old today. People are living longer. And as your mama and daddy get older, they begin to worry about several things. They worry about money. They worry that life, the money is going to run out before life runs out, and they will be a burden on their families. They worry about that. It's a legitimate worry if you are caught in an inflationary economy on a fixed income. So your parents, as they grow older, will worry about their money. Whether or not there will be enough to take care of medical expenses, living expenses. They worry about dignity. Can I die with some dignity? They fear the loss of control, the indignity of nursing homes. They worry about their health. Aging does not kill anyone. Disease kills people. We should encourage our aging parents to exercise, to eat balanced diets, to take care of themselves and have regular medical checkups. When we grow older, the aches and pains begin. Ernie Johnson of our staff turned 40 this summer. Every day brings a new revelation to him. Someone has said at age 40, when you wake up in the morning, you discover that during the night, something else has come loose. Ernie can't play racquetball because his hand hurts. David, right here, David, he can't play because his back hurts. Chuck can't play because he just can't play. Your parents, as they grow older, are going to be worried about their health. Malcolm Conley, the literary critic and historian, when he was 86 years old, said this: "How does a man feel when he enters the second half of his ninth decade? Sometimes he feels terrible. After 70, a friend told me, if you wake up with no pain, you're dead." I love the story of a 95-year-old man who went to his doctor because his right knee hurt. And the doctor, in all of his wisdom, examined his knee and said, "You're just 95 years old. And when you're 95 years old, you can expect some aches and pains. That's what's wrong with your right knee." And the man said, "I don't buy that. My left knee is the same age and it doesn't hurt a bit." Your mom and daddy are going to worry about their health. When they get old, they're going to worry about useful involvement. Try to be busy with something until the day you die. I tell you, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to work, help, preach, baptize, do something until I'm overtaken by destiny. My father worked his garden until he was well into his 80s. My brothers and sisters just used to get on me and, "You're the only one that has any influence on father. Why don't you make him stop with that garden? I wouldn't have done it for the world. It was a big project. Let me tell you, he had a 3-acre garden. You try that on for size. All went along. He planned that garden. I'm going to rotate the butter beans where the squash was planted last year. I'm going to move the watermelons over to where the green beans are supposed to be. All went along. He put out a diagram on the dining room table. All spring he worked it. All summer he gathered it and put it in 2 freezers he had on his back porch. And all winter he carried frozen vegetables to his neighbors. He kept in touch with everybody. And when the neighbors didn't see him for a day or two, they'd call me up and say, "Your daddy doing okay? Haven't seen him. Didn't bring me any butter beans." I wouldn't have interfered with that for the world. One of my brothers wrote me and said, "You're going to be sorry. You're going to find Daddy dead on his old tractor." I tell you the truth, if I had, I would have thanked God, because he died useful. Involvement is important. Your parents are going to worry about that when they get old. Well, they are also going to worry about affirmation. Older people need the same thing we all need, love and affirmation. I have people who come by to see me here at the church just to talk to me, just to spend some time with somebody who cares about them. I wonder sometimes where their families are. I visit people in nursing homes in this city, and I'm conscious of the fact that the only visitors they ever have are people from this church. I wonder where their families are. My son-in-law is graduating from medical school, and I might add, probably in the nick of time for me. Going to have a doctor in my own family. He tells me the story of an aging retired Army colonel that checked in to the Veterans Hospital where he was working on one of the rotating services as a part of his training. They filled out all of the paperwork. And just before the family left, and when they took the colonel on down to his room, his son handed him the deeds to the cemetery plot. You know the implication of that? Never expected to see his daddy again. You just let the cemetery know when the time comes. That's a disgraceful attitude. The Bible says, "He that careth not for his own is worse than an infidel." Your mom and daddy, as they grow older, are going to worry about money and health and involvement and the kind of affirmation that they are going to receive from the people they love the most. But note, secondly, that there are some things that you can do, some positive things that are available to you and me as our parents grow older. And I give them to you quickly. First, love them unconditionally. Make love your aim. Make love your aim. And sometimes it's not easy to love someone who is growing old. They get set in their ways. They are fixed in their temperament. They want to do it that way because they've always done it that way before. But love them unconditionally. I wrote my father at least once a week for as long as he lived. I called him once or twice a week. I sent him all of the mailings from the church, the sermons. I never would forget saying to him, "Did you read that last sermon I preached? Did you read my last sermon?" He said, "I hope so." My father grew old with a great measure of grace. But he was a little cranky in some areas. I would write him a letter. If you've gotten a handwritten note from me, I have a beautiful penmanship. I would write him a letter, and he'd say, "Well, I got that letter from you, and I couldn't make out what it was." "Don't you type?" So I would type him a letter. And he would say, "Well, you're getting so busy, you don't even have time to write your old daddy." Sometimes it's hard to love people as they get older. But you love them unconditionally. Make love your aim. Secondly, remember that a profound role reversal is taking place. Once you were dependent upon them and they were your rock of Gibraltar, now they are dependent upon you and you are their security. And that requires sensitivity. Thirdly, encourage them to be as independent as they can be. Let them be as independent as they can be. If they want to travel, let them travel. Encourage them to travel. And let me tell you something, and I mean this with great affection. There are some great old-timers in this church. They are good models of how to grow old with a measure of grace. They are active and they are involved and they are doing things in the life of this church, and they make a difference. Fourthly, give your mama and your daddy your time. I want to pay tribute to my dear wife who lost her father this summer. He was 85, nearing 86 when he died. Sarah went to see him, drove 350 miles at least every 6 weeks to spend several days with him. I learned a lot about her through all of that. That's what I'm talking about. She is a powerful model to our own daughters of how to care for a parent. Give your parents some time. Some time. And then the final thing I want to say is simply this. We must learn from the faith of our fathers and mothers as we journey toward life's conclusion. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw nigh when we will say, "I have no delight in them." The time to store up the spiritual resources of your life is right now, when you tend to be busy with everything else. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed by the German authorities because he was involved in an assassination plot against Hitler. And the sad thing is that this young theologian was hanged 2 weeks before the prison where he was being held was liberated by the Allied armies. And just before he died, Bonhoeffer wrote this: "Who am I? Is something within me still like a beaten army fleeing in disorder from a victory already achieved? Isn't that like so many of us, young and old, that we are fleeing from the victory of Jesus Christ already achieved? The victory is there, ours to accept. And we have just one responsibility, to accept the offered grace, to live in the strength of His grace, to die in the assurance of His nearness." Have you accepted His victory? Or are you still fleeing from it? I learned many things from my parents. But nothing befitted my father more than the manner in which he died. He had leukemia. His doctors advised me that there was no need to put him through an ordeal at age 86. I flew to Charleston, South Carolina, to talk to him about it. I walked into his hospital room and he said to, He was putting on his necktie. He said, "You go down and pay the bill. I'm going to go home." We never had a conversation about any further treatments because he sent me the message, "I'm going home where I belong." I visited him regularly before he died, 3 times in the final week of his life. On our last visit, on Friday night before he died, Sunday morning, I said to him as I sat by his bed, "Do you have anything spiritually that you want to talk about?" "Oh no," he said. "I solved all of that many years ago." For as long as I can remember, my father prayed and read his Bible every night. The last picture I have of it is he was reading his Bible. As I took leave of my father, all of my adult years, I would embrace him and say to him, "I love you, and I'll see you soon." That night when I embraced him and told him I loved him, that I'd see him soon, for years he would always reply, "I hope it comes true." But that night, he simply said, "Goodbye." We can learn not only how to live from our parents, but more importantly, how to die. We give thanks, our Father, for these moments together. Help us to love our parents as they have loved us, to learn from our parents as they teach us how to live and how to die. In Christ's name, amen.